your phone. Ow. Yes, you are. Ow. On your phone.
Damn it, that hurt, woman.
Yeah, why are you on your phone?
Because the show hasn't started yet, and that's the rule.
Oh, really? But someone powering up, getting ready.
It doesn't start when you hear the gray sky eternal. It starts when my voice comes out.
Oh, you're super bounding.
Yeah.
Overboard.
I'm the law.
Voice.
Well, you're being loud as hell right now. You're going right off the faders. Jesus.
I'm going to kick you in your faders.
Show is Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. With me today, Allison Frank.
Ta-da.
Show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there to find a new episode every Monday and every Thursday, about an hour long of pop. Every Friday, I try to review a movie that's coming out that weekend that I haven't seen yet. Why prejudice your opinion?
No, I think it's good. I like your reviews.
Thank you.
I do. I actually think they're quite clever.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well.
I've always said that. You're good on paper.
Oh, well. Aren't you, darling?
It's this in-person thing that I have a problem with. This bearded meat slab right here.
Oh, come now.
Listen, I'm
that
one, too.
That crossed the line.
We're like twins.
You're just a goateed meat slab, not a full beard.
Actually, I waxed it.
Did you?
Me and Will had a wax party.
Oh, I always like getting to pluck at you like a fellow bonobo.
Listen what he said, I have to tell you.
All right, let's hear it.
I said, can you help me get these? He's so funny. He just cracks me up. I said, can you help me get...
I'm glad one of us does.
He said, can you help me get a couple of these hairs on my chin? Because you kept busting my chops about having this hair on my chin or whatever.
Yeah, you did.
Like who?
You looked like you could cast a spell and turn me into a toad.
So I said, can you get them? Will's like, come in here to the light, like his lab.
Yeah.
Because you know he goes in there.
His chamber of pluck. Will lives to groom.
He's in the mirror all day long. Anyhow, he goes in there and he says to me, he's like, he said it like a little kid. Like a little kid when your mom takes you and says, hey, we're going to go to the wallpaper store. And you're just hanging off her arm going, get me, please, get out of here. Like you're just pleading out of like sheer death of boredom or whatever. Like you just agony. Terrible.
I'd rather go to the church shoe
yeah,
store.
Like
than
exhaustion.
The wallpaper
like you're going
to yeah.
be exhausted. You're just, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you're doing the dead weight yeah. on their arm. Like, come on.
So he says to me, he goes, please, can I just shave it?
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't got this kind of time, lady. Like, there is just too much going on.
You can't shave a woman's face. Is it true? It does come back like wiry and thicker, right? Or...
Actually, they say if you do that, it really doesn't. But the problem is that...
You've shaved your face and then had to kiss a man.
I've never
and
shaved.
And keep that secret from him.
I've never shaved my face, but I have waxed my upper lip and, you know. But the thing is like loads of people do. I guess loads of people don't like to talk about it. But I mean, it would be worse if I just left it there. I mean, we've all seen those women.
It's horrific.
Yes, man. So
no one's hairier, honestly, than like old black ladies.
No, that's not true.
Really?
There was a woman.
If I had to award the mustache prize, we call it the Mario.
No.
I would give it to old black ladies.
Armenians.
Well, okay, come on. Yeah. I mean, it's like picking.
Those are gorilla arms. I kept saying to my mom when I was a kid.
That's not fair.
I was like.
They don't count.
9 years old or something. And I kept saying, Mom, like, it's so like, much hair on her arms. And my mom goes, Allison, she's Armenian. Like, that was it.
Exactly.
That's all
that
you
is
need.
It. That is.
But that's not understood when I'm 9 or 10, you know.
No, it's like building a sprint team and you're like, oh, I'm going to take all the Jamaicans. Come on.
It's like, but I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't shave my face. I mean, if you have a few, you just pluck them out. I mean, why am I going to just shave and all that? And plucking them out, you get
them. I don't
know.
It's kind of hilarious to picture you doing that. Like that, the little thief from Bugs Bunny, who was like a master criminal, and then he posed as a baby.
Yeah. We actually had a woman in the nursing home. She was Italian, and she could grow a full beard. Like, she had, like, a 5 o'clock shadow after, like, a couple of days. And she actually, it was so disgusting. Like, she didn't have any teeth, and she was, you know.
So it really looked like a vagina.
I mean, she had Alzheimer's. I mean, there's different levels of dementia, and then you get to Alzheimer's, and then she's
at
like,
what level do you get facial hair?
The this is just a cultural thing. But okay. Her daughter would say, you know, have you shaved my mom? And you'd have to make sure. But you'd have to like.
Wait, like you had to Gillette her face.
No, you had to lather up with shaving cream on her face. Yeah. And just, yeah. And the thing is, the woman,
God, no, no. And then people wonder I don't date. You asked it last episode. This is why porn's better.
But the thing is that it was even worse because she was so out of it. And then she had no teeth. So she would do like this, like stick her tongue.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't sexually function now.
And she would constantly do this thing where her tongue just rolled out of her mouth, kind of, you know, just over where her teeth used to be. So she was constantly doing that with her mouth, and you had to shave her.
Oh,
but she was hairy
so
all over. And it's funny because a lot of times somebody had said something on Twitter about, like, they made some joke about people being older and, or like, I don't know, banging an old lady or something to that effect. And they didn't want to because it would be too hairy down there or whatever. But actually, I counterpointed that as a nurse and working with the elderly. As you get older, all your hair falls out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Everywhere. Like, you lose your pubes and all of that, but it grows out like your ears and your nose and chin hairs.
It looks like Ben Franklin's head down there for some of them.
Actually, I mean, it's not even so much that. I mean, it does can go gray also, but they tend to have a lot less hair. My point of that being is that this Italian woman, it didn't. She was an exception to that
kidding.
Role. I mean, she just.
No kidding. Have you ever seen an evolutionary chart? You're walking, then you're a monkey, then you're standing, then you're a gorilla, then you're Italian.
But it's
then
funny
you're
what they say, like when you're growing up, how like the roles kind of reverse, and then you start off men and women looking alike, and then you go through this change, and then as you get older you wind up looking alike again.
Yeah, because all of your hormones are draining out.
Yeah, so you're
I'm almost more weirded out by how men become women to some extent.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, they get the breasts and they get the sagging and they get the pooch and they yeah, it's really kind of gross. But when you think about it like that, you're like, oh. And then you start thinking about all the people. And you think,
no, don't get me wrong. I just think it's slept on that men lose their testosterone. A woman becoming a man is still far more horrific, especially in the heartland where it happens like 35, where they just get that buzz cut and look like Napoleon Dynamite's grandma.
Yeah, all of them do. And that's why it's so difficult as a nurse when... Especially like they all look alike, especially if you work someplace at night and you have to pass meds and they have dementia. So you're like, hey, are you Mrs. Franklin? Yes. Oh. But they all look alike. They all have the same hair. They all have the same wrinkles. They all. So it's much easier during the day when people are dressed and you're like, oh, she's always wears her, you know, lavender sweater. Or she always. And you can ask
what age do you want to die? Like, when do I kill you? As a mercy thing.
You know what? Actually, there are some really just, we talked about this before, but my friend Linda, her mom, who is like, I think she's 80, 84, 87, somewhere in that range. But she's just so spry. I mean, she was driving up until a couple of years ago, but she can get down in a tub and get herself out and she can lift her. She could probably
touch her. How horrible is life, though? That's what you have. Like at 85,
yeah,
I can still bathe myself.
She puts herself in the pool and puts herself on a floaty and floats around and takes care of her dog.
So does an 8-year-old.
Right. But I'm saying that she still has a lot of life. She's like a kid. And when I was hanging out with them over there, I actually enjoyed her company.
Ah, take me now. Well, I'm still pretty.
But I mean, if you're going to wind up in a Jerry chair like Mrs. I mean, she kind of reminded me of Jabba the Hutt. The way you ever see Jabba the Hutt when he eats those frogs and his tongue's like.
Yeah.
Well, that's how this woman, this Italian woman. And then you're like, I got to go shave Jabba's face. Like if you're going to wind up like her, like. Then you have a reason, but I mean, but the hair thing, like it's, I don't know.
I'm just picturing Franco Harris.
Franco Harris? I don't know Franco Harris.
There you go. Franco Harris of your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's
come
pull
on.
My pick.
There we go.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I mean, if he were a little bit paler.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were paler, and she had kind of like a slicked back kind of hairdo, like you had to, oh, she was
so
just,
like Pauly Walnut's hair, and then Franco Harris's beard.
Yeah, she
just sounds
was,
handsome.
Oh, and the daughter was just a pain.
She might have been a hit with the hipster girls,
and the thing is,
beard?
Like her legs, and it's funny, like as you get older, all your leg hair and everything falls out. but her legs were like jet black hair, like an Armenian's arms. Like it was just.
We gotta talk about something else.
Gorilla sleeves.
I'm so grossed out right now.
But it's funny. If you lose all the hair, like you'll lose hair on your head.
Everyone's done this bit to death. You lose the good hair, you gain the bad hair.
Yeah. So, but it's like, I can remember the first time I saw one and I was like devastated. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I think I was 19 and I had a hair on my neck.
I've had one or two like on my earlobe.
Yeah.
And it's not like my dad who just had wolfish ear hair, but. Yeah. I'm like, how long am I holding these hordes at bay before that kicks in? Because that's something I would cough up for electrolysis.
Well, and the thing is, like, I've done electrolysis before, and I go to what I call the wax Nazi. And I can remember one time I went there, and she took care of my brows and did all her jazz, you know. And then she says to me, she says, hey, you've got one hair just growing out the end of your nose. Not inside.
Like those fish? That have like the little light bulb at the end of that but stalk.
But from the flesh, from the point of my nose, there's a long hair coming out.
You're pointing at the literal tip of your nose.
Yes. Not from my nostril.
If I was trying to be cute with a baby, I would kiss them right there. Yeah.
And I said, she said, so you've got this long hair growing out the end of your nose. Do you want me to go ahead and get that for you? And I said, oh, no, I'm just letting it grow out. Maybe we'll put a bead in it and I'll do some nasal bangs or something. And the lady, she was like, I said, of course, like, where are my friends been? Like, at least you said, you know, if I had a, you know, the hair on my chin or whatever, you're like, hey, we got to take care of that.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's a good friend. My mom always had this saying that only a friend would tell you. And she'd be like, only a friend would tell you, but you got a booger hanging on your nose. Or only a friend would tell you your fly is down. Well, that's what friends do. But I'm thinking here, it had to grow out. Like, when was I going to put a bead in it or what? Like, why didn't somebody just tell me? Like, that's terrible. Or why couldn't I see it for myself? But sometimes you have to be out.
Yeah, that's worse.
Yeah. But I was just like, yeah, I want it gone. And then one time I went to this lady, the wax Nazi, and she said, kind of exasperated, kind of like your brother. And she said, I think we're just going to have to let your skin rest. And it was really, what she meant was, my arm is tired. You're going to have to come back another day. Like, you are such a woolly mammoth. Like, we're going to have to break this into sessions.
I don't want to. Let's do something else. This isn't good.
Oh,
I don't like this in any way, shape, or form.
You want to talk about the time that I discovered someone with venereal warts?
No. No, I do not. I had a couple subjects we could talk about. We still need to do the July 4th. The mutants we saw there are like way sexier than what you've discussed here.
Oh my gosh. But seriously, that lady with the venereal warts, when I went down there, talk about like how old people down there, they're just like a bald eagle, you know? And I went down there and this woman, she felt all kinds of lumpity.
Okay, that's
So listen.
No, I
normally
don't really.
Normally you don't have to take a peek, but I just thought, and I, oh my gosh. It was like Skyline Caverns down there.
You're like the guy who molested Uma Thurman and Kill Bill. Like you got all these comatose
patients.
So
I went down to the nurse's station. I was like, holy moly, but Mrs. So-and-so's got something going. And they're like, oh yeah, she's got warts. And I'm like, could somebody have told me that? Like she was a new patient, but why would you just send me in there to a wart factory? That's the first time I've ever seen them. I mean, it's just not good. I don't recommend them.
Yeah, all the kids are talking about them on the playground, but okay. Guess
but imagine that, then you don't need ribbed business. You know what I mean? She's ribbed for your pleasure already. With all those
I don't like any of that. That was 15 minutes of bad to start the show. And then people say I'm gross.
You are gross.
I try to make it playful. That was just medical horror. And it drilled home that we're all going to die. And in a bad way. Like, we're not going to die pretty.
Well, your genitals will be pretty. Nice and pristine. Bald eagles.
Like, women's vaginas, like, fall out of themselves as time passes.
Have you seen men's balls? I mean, men's...
But that's how they go. They just kind of extend. We don't invert. Like, our balls don't climb into our body.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get a lot of excess skin. So maybe you're circumcised, but as you get older, it looks like you weren't.
Oh, wow.
So you grow a meat sleeve from excess skin.
Yeah,
it gets age spots on it.
I don't want to die out of fear, but I don't want to live like this either. It's quite the conundrum.
Oh, golly.
All right. We got the July 4th stuff we can talk about because we literally somehow segued into that perfectly on the episode we did an hour ago and then just left it. Like you cooked a hot meal and you poked it with the fork. You're like, all right, we're done. We got that. I can always go on and on about the fans of the show you find. We have to do that one.
Okay.
And the men I've had to phone sex through you or text sex through you at your behest. We got a lot of good segments here. And then I have a prepared statement, an apology to read to you.
Oh, to me? For me or to me?
To you.
Oh.
Something I did to you the previous week.
Oh, no.
That I need to apologize for.
Oh, no. Is it a serious apology or not? It can't be because you didn't tell me before the show.
I mean,
if you need fanfare.
In truth, I've always just done good for you. I've given you a platform to share your humor with the world. Everyone loves you. So really, I have nothing to apologize for. But I did something that could be considered, you know, gauche, crass, if you will.
Oh, no.
So I'd like to apologize if you want it.
Well, why don't you apologize now? What are we going to save
for? So many options to pick from. If you want the apology, we can do the apology.
Okay. Let's have that.
All right. Well, last week,
yes,
I went to Costco.
Right.
And for a long time, I have been avoiding dairy products because I've somehow lost any semblance of lactose tolerance.
Really?
Yeah, I stopped drinking milk for like maybe in my 20s for a bit.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes, apparently. Like, you can go 2 months without
drinking
milk.
But you do cheese and all that.
It's really just liquid milk that does it to me.
Really?
Yeah, but they had a 3-pack of organic milk, and I hadn't tasted milk in a while.
Right.
And I went a little overboard.
Oh, no.
You remember what happened, right?
No.
Well, let me refresh you.
I just remember, like, the almond milk, I know, was frozen. And then you were
so
like...
So we had to get real milk at Costco.
But you could have gotten almond milk or you could have gotten soy milk. They have both products there.
I wanted to try organic milk.
I gotcha.
Because I avoid milk for two reasons. Right. One, it's filled with, like, the hormones that give you jugs.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do to the cows.
Soy has been known to do that.
Sometimes other people say it helps with weight loss. Who really?
No, no, I'm saying with the boobs. Parents and things are concerned.
They say that the other stuff too is bad for you, like actual cow's milk, because
cow's milk is bad.
They pump them so full of hormones.
It's hormones, and it's not made for humans. That's what it is, basically. Yeah. I mean, it's made for calves. So
yes, it's not good.
But almond milk is fine. It's just almonds and water, and it tastes delicious. That's what I use.
Well, almond milk, what they give you is very sugary. So
I think you can. I think you can get the unsweetened, untreated, whatever. And it depends on the product. And you can make your own.
They're all horrible options. Let's be honest. Like cereal, for whatever reason, you have to eat it using some sort of poison.
Actually, the cereal that you had gotten, the Greek one, it's actually delicious. Tastes like candy just right out of the box.
I know, but I need my cereal if I'm eating it for breakfast.
I love
cereal.
Cereal is one of my favorite foods. So I know what you're saying.
All right. Look,
yeah.
I drank a bunch of milk.
Yeah.
I got a little heady.
Yeah.
A little full of piss and vinegar. And I got a little gassy afterward.
Okay.
And I started torturing you with it.
Right.
For several hours. And I wanted to apologize for every specific bad thing I did.
Okay.
This is where I should be playing sad music or apologetic music.
Don't you have it queued up?
Let me punch up some if you can buy a couple of seconds. What?
But really, you don't notice? But you don't. You don't really eat a lot of cheese and stuff either. Like, your mom will do that. Well, what about feta and all that? You don't...
Oh, really?
I'm just saying.
If I were black, would you go, what about the watermelon and the fried
chicken?
I'm just
saying that that's the one thing that I know that your mom does put on things, so...
Cheese doesn't bug me.
Yeah.
And the internet's down, so we're going to have to raw dog this.
But I do know there was a lady that she came to a dinner party. My friend Joel had a dinner party in D.C., and he invited... there were several attorneys, and the one has his girlfriend, whom he married, but
but like nobody knew. It was like a secret marriage. And everyone thought like he was marrying her just for her money and for her status because her parents are bigwigs and everything. But she's a very, very big black woman. And she also had like the curly sideburns.
Mm-hmm.
So
the rabbis.
Yeah, she wasn't particularly like unattractive in the face.
Oh, other than that.
Other than the beard.
Other than the sideburns and the obesity.
But Joel had these huge like cheese platters and there was wine and a bunch of other stuff. And it was a very nice spread that he put out. Well, this lady was just tearing into this cheese and then like nobody else had really gotten in there, you know?
Yeah.
But she had just like plowed through all of these cheeses. And so Joel came out and he said she was picking up one, like one cube or whatever, and or slice or something. And he said, oh, should I get more cheese? And she says, oh, no, not for me because I'm lactose intolerant. And then we find out that her and her boyfriend, fiance, whatever, they live in like a studio in D.C.
Nice little hot box.
Can you imagine after that whole cheese platter? Like, why? Oh, no, none for me. No more for me. You don't, because I'm lactose intolerant. Joel and I both just like fell out.
That's a great scene from The Critic where I forget his Australian film star buddy and Jay Sherman, played by John Lovitz.
Yeah.
And the star takes the pickle off a sandwich and passes it to Lovitz. And he's like, here's my pickle, mate. They give me gas. And Lovitz just goes, me too, and starts eating it.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. It was...
Well, let's get this done.
Okay.
So we can go on with the rest of the show.
All
There's
right.
four incidents I need to apologize for.
Okay. Did your mom make you do this?
No, it kind of gnawed at me.
Okay.
And I thought about everything I did.
All right.
Allison?
Yeah.
For the time that I held your hand and pretended I was checking your nails for a mineral
deficiency.
Yeah,
that was so mean.
Only to fart against your hand.
No, what you said was...
I'm sorry.
I'm just reading something on the internet. And you were on your phone. And you said, I just read this article. Let me see your nails. And then you farted on my hands. That was so rude.
I'm sorry.
Even your brother thought that was rude.
Can we continue?
But he laughed hysterically and almost fell off the sofa.
Allison... For the time I bent over, pretending to pick up a water bottle in front of you.
Yes.
And I put my ass in your face.
Yeah,
like
we knew that
Carlucci
one was coming. Mm-hmm.
Did to Matt Damon in Behind the Candelabra. And I farted into your mouth.
Not into my mouth. I saw that one coming. But yeah, that's nasty.
I'm sorry. Allison.
Yes.
For the time I pretended, I was trying to block your view of the television.
Yeah.
And in truth. I was maneuvering my ass in front of your face.
That's gross.
To fart in front of it.
You're nasty.
I am sorry.
You're not really sorry because you'll do it all again. These are your trick moves here. The old double guns. The double barrels. As you fire them off. Come on.
Look, we're almost done. Can we just do this and let the healing begin?
I can't believe you wrote this all out. That's ridiculous.
Allison.
The nails one was good. The rest, come on. We all saw those coming.
For the time that I just sat on your foot and farted on it. I am sorry.
Oh, good. I hope you pooped your pants some of these times.
I did not.
I'm going to check. I'm going to ask your mom.
So, we
nasty.
Good now?
That's gross. Now, how do you expect to get a girl after that? After you just announced all of that? Your farting habits.
This they is like not, a sense of humor.
Dude, this is not even like in relationship to milk or dairy. That's just how you are. You're a rootin' tootin' farting cowboy. And
after dairy destroys
and you're like Babe Ruth with his bat and you're pointing to the
shot,
crowd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you cock your leg. Come on. That's not.
I walk in. I just point at you and you're like, oh, no. And I go, yep, right against you. You think I do that to people I'm dating? You're like my sister.
Yeah, okay, but I'm sure that comes out. That you don't hold off on that forever. That's your personality.
I'm telling you, I know. I'm really weird with people I date. I'll be honest. I'm like much angrier, though. Don't get me. Like, I'm much more combative. You know how we never really have like blow up fights and
never.
Stuff?
Never.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody about that the other day.
Me holding in my gas translates to like, I'm going to get into it with you. Because I'm very obsessed in a relationship with like not taking too much crap.
Yeah.
And so if I feel I'm really getting dumped on, yeah. Oh God, do I let it out?
Really? Like what? Like you're angry?
Yeah.
Like about what? I mean, like what's an example of where you'll just have a blowout? Like we want to go out. It's where we're going to eat.
Okay. I remember one time I was with an ex.
Yeah.
And kind of out of nowhere for a couple of hours, she was giving me attitude.
Yeah.
Giving me lip, okay. If you will. And I really tried to quell things by giving her a hug.
Mm.
And she
That's what an angry cat wants.
She brushed me off and said,
wants to get into a cuddle puddle.
Just don't touch me for a while. It was just a quick embrace. It wasn't like, oh, you're the best, and grabbing her. I just wanted to give her like a little reassuring, like, eh.
Yeah.
And she got pissy about that.
Yeah. And then what did you do? You got all Wolverine on that kitten.
I just didn't talk to her for a couple days or something. If I recall.
Yeah, but that seems like your go-to move. That seems pretty bad.
I'm a big abandoner.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I do like abandoning. Yeah, because to say that I scream and like really lose my crap like an angry monkey is an exaggeration. I'm big on abandonment.
Yeah.
I like just being like, you know what, bitch, bye. Yeah. But not even saying that. I'm big on just going stone silent and then parting ways.
But why don't you kind of adopt like the code word or something, you know, when it gets heated or when it's getting hot or you know what I mean? You
can work through things. Like if it was good and worked, I wouldn't need to work at it. Everything good is easy. Don't you know that?
No, I mean, I agree and I disagree because I agree, but I don't think it should feel like a job. I think when you're with someone and it feels like work, like you're actually going to put in time and, you know, and you're not looking forward to that person or that person calls or texts or sends a photo and you're just like, I don't even, then you just shouldn't be with that person.
No. Like I like the person, but I can't handle effort in a relationship.
But I think if you're not doing that other person any, you're not going to make it any better by not letting them know. You know, if it bothers
you. No, you're right. Look, does anyone listen to this show and think to themselves, why is John single? He's a catch.
They might.
Not listening closely. I got issues.
I mean, you are a catch, but I think you have to. I think like if we were together.
Why am I so quick to just peace out then? Because it's not like, well, I take it back. That was my old man's move after a really big argument, too. So it might just be in my blood. It might have been modeled to me. And I always remembered that was the best thing ever because it scared the piss out of me.
Yeah.
Wow, I just answered my own question why I do this. It would scare the piss out of my little brother and I when daddy would peace out after a big fight because it's like, oh, my God, you're coming back. Ah.
But part of that, next evening. In a sense, for me, like if somebody does that to me, then you're not going to get that satisfaction because I'm not the type of person that I'm going to go, oh, come back. I didn't mean
it. I don't want that satisfaction. I just want you to know that I can leave you.
Yeah, but in a sense, you do because you want them to kind of grovel. You want
because
they feel that fear. That fear that you felt when your dad left. That's what you're hoping that person feels, too. Yeah.
I want the situation, like, okay, I want them to feel the fear. They don't have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, but if they don't acknowledge it, then you don't know that.
They felt it.
No, because I would be just like, see you later.
You're
like,
a
if you want to be a baby and do that, and I can't.
You had to stay up on coke benders with your mom.
But I can't stand it for people who do that. Like you will actually leave. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are plenty of people who say, you know what? You know, you keep doing this and I'm leaving. Well, we already packed a picnic. We already have this. There are other people here. We rode together. So unless you're really prepared to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Oh, I learned that from The Godfather.
My friend Joel, we went and this happened to us. We had this whole picnic.
You interrupted my Godfather anecdote.
No. And what happened
you're
was.
You're like, no, keep talking.
What happened was we had this huge picnic and my friend Jason was there. I was there. We hung up hammocks. We were cooking out and his girlfriend was getting ready to do this race.
Very so Robinson Crusoe.
And she wanted to. It was that park in D.C. where the statue where it looks like he's coming out of like he's like awake or whatever.
Oh, a park with a statue in D.C. That
place.
No. Gotcha.
Where it's his head and his arms coming out.
Oh, the statue with the head and the arms.
Oh, I'm going to punch you. I forget what it's called.
I know that place.
No, you don't.
It's
slipping. On the water.
Oh, yeah. So it's near the water in D.C., and it's a statue that has arms and a head.
That's all it is. It's like somebody reaching out from the ground, whatever it is. But then they moved
it. As opposed to that other statue where the guy's diving into the ground.
No, because Lincoln is sitting up on a podium, on a perch there or whatever. And the other one, you know what I mean?
It's different. Bird perch, just like a parrot. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyhow, so his girlfriend says, hey, I'm going to meet you guys down there, but I want a bike there. It's like 20 miles, maybe. That seems far.
It is.
Maybe 15.
Oh, okay. Now that it's nothing, go on.
Well, D.C.'s only 4.5, isn't it? So how was that?
Yeah, but you can bike like 10 miles an hour without breaking a sweat. So 4.5 is like a little under 30 minutes to bike side by side.
I'm just trying to think. But anyhow, it wasn't terribly long. It was going to, whatever it was going to take her maybe an hour to bike it, whatever that is. Anyhow, so she meets down there on her bike, and then she was like, they got into an argument, her and Joel did, and then she was like, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. And she was going to go on her bike. But the thing is, like, she didn't want to ride at night.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm leaving. And Joel was like, see ya. And me and Joel are the same. We're like, goodbye. Like, don't say it and not follow through. No. Like, if it comes out of your mouth, you better be, you know.
Don Corleone, here it comes, said, never make a threat that you cannot follow through on.
Yeah. And I don't like.
Great advice.
Yeah. I don't like people who do that. So anyhow, so she was like, I'm leaving. And what if I get raped and by 10 black guys? I guess only black guys are the people that rape people. But that's what she had said. And he was like, you know, you're choosing to leave.
I wish she'd been more specific, like 9 black guys than just this Asian that filmed it all.
Anyhow, so she leaves and she's gone for like a half an hour or whatever. And then she comes right back and she's like, hey, I'm going to need a ride home. But I'm like, I mean, you just should have committed to getting raped.
Exactly.
If that would have came out of my mouth, I'm ready. I'm ready to face it.
Should have been gnashing your teeth, looking fierce.
I mean, I could be on the top of Everest. If I say peace out, I'm out. And then I'm
That's how I feel. Yeah. And then I'm proud that I displayed stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah, but there's a certain amount of pride where you're actually hurting yourself because you're not getting any resolution from that person. You know what I mean? So here you're arguing.
That is the title of my biography. It's called Damaging Pride. Pride at Too High a Cost. The John Papagiorgio story.
Yeah, but it's not worth it. And the problem there is that you have to humble yourself. You know what I mean? You have
or
to
you
say,
don't, and then the relationship ends.
Yeah, but I think there's part of that if you have something or you enjoyed that person, just to throw it in the garbage. But I think, again, that has to do with everybody with this instant thing with Tinder and Facebook and Twitter, and everyone's just got a conveyor belt of, you know.
It's true.
You know, boob pics. And they don't even have names. This is like freckle chest. This one's inverted nipples. This one's puppy boobs. This one's whatever.
Stop telling people what I talk about before the show.
You never said that. But I'm just saying, like, they just view everything as disposable. But that person's baggage. That person has problems. That person has a history.
And it's weird to me because Lord knows I am what I am. But I'll see women all the time who I'll always blame Sex and the City for this. They're just tossing guys to the side, left and right. And they're like 35 years old.
But those women on that show were pining for certain ones. The only one that really wasn't was the
slut.
Yeah.
Samantha.
Yeah. But they were all pining for someone.
Yeah, but it blows my... Dude, if you want a family, if you want marriage, like, I'm sorry. You're probably not going to get like the 11 out of 10 who worships you. But you kind of have to know what's in your wheelhouse, too. I know you're a big believer in anyone can get anything.
Right.
And that's why I just raw-dogged Rihanna 2 hours ago in my 07 Elantra.
If she was here, it could happen.
It's called rape.
It's called charm.
Oh, really? Okay.
You could charm her pants off.
I'll let her, exactly. Charm her pants off. I would need a very sharp charm to her throat. Gotcha.
Mason rope.
Yeah. A 9mm charmer held to her temple.
No, but you're right. I think that, I mean, we've had that conversation, and that's true. I think anyone.
You're big on that. I live in the real world.
But that's not necessarily real. But I think when you have someone and you have a lot of common denominators, I think just one hiccup isn't worth kind of just throwing it all away.
I need to get over that.
I used to be the type of person where I would just ignore people. You know, that was kind of my go-to move too. And I would kind of pride myself on not speaking to anyone for days. My mom was a big one. My mom was always...
Oh, are you kidding? I love when I break up.
Yeah.
I'm never the one that caves.
Yeah.
Never.
And I never was either, but I'm realizing now as I get older, it's not really worth it.
No, it isn't, because the other person reaches out, and then you're like, watch this, I'm going to ignore that too. Bonus, bonus points. And then, yeah, months go by, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. This person missed me.
Yeah.
And maybe something would have happened, and instead I just got off on showing the text to my friends and laughing at the person.
But you yourself, to grow as a person, if you don't listen to whatever had gotten that person upset in the first place, then how do you grow? You
know? Well, obviously something crazy, because I'm perfect.
That's right.
I mean, let's boil it down.
Well, I'm not perfect, and I understand that. And I think, you know, I've learned too as I've gotten older, and I've had friends and we've had disagreements and things like that. And I've said this before on the radio too, where just because I'm this outgoing person and all these kinds of things, like, not everyone has that personality. So my friend said, you know, well, not everyone is you, Allison. Like, that does make me uncomfortable.
Do you like that in a partner? Like, what's is that something, do you want someone who also works a room like you? Or do you want someone?
I do think it's charming. I do think that I'm attracted to that kind of person, generally speaking. Someone who's like,
so this is why you're single. You're like, there I'm attracted to charismatic man whores who can talk to anyone in the room.
Not the man whore. I think that's gross.
No, women love the guy who has all the tools to get every woman he wants, and yet he's somehow faithful.
Well, that's what I posted. I did a tweet the other day, and I talked about monogamy. And how, like, I remember when monogamy was
how even the word itself sounds ugly.
It's just that, but it's funny when you look up, like, creatures and things that are monogamous and that mate
and
for life.
And the list is three deep?
No, it's like wolves and termites and albatross.
Swans, I always hear.
Swans?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, termites and wolves have more virtues than humans.
Termites, like, they have sex with the queen and then their penis explodes. And they die. Yeah, it's pretty simple as far as monogamy works. The first person I stuck it in, my pecker went up like a bottle rocket. I think I'd manage as well.
I don't know. But I think that you're not doing yourself any favors by just storming out.
I need to get over it.
Yeah.
I need to stop that. But I can't, as calm as I might sound on the air.
Yeah.
And I'll never, like, physically lose my temper.
Yeah.
Like, I've never raised my hands to, especially a woman.
Yeah.
A guy, who cares, beat the hell out of him. But I do, like, see red when things start, and it's quick.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, watch out for John. He's having a bad day. Like, John can be in a happy mood.
Yeah.
And you can just pour the wrong two chemicals together. Yeah. And before you know it, it's going up like a science fair volcano.
He is very curt, and he is very, like, and he very seldom will apologize, but he's the type, like, he was talking about dating this girl and wooing her and everything. And he's like, you
ooh,
know,
wooing.
That's not his word. That's my word. But he's like, you know what? Do you think we can go the distance? She's a virgin and she's Catholic and she's, I think, 38.
Nope. Nope. And she's an effing freak, Joel.
And that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
But he's saying, you know what? If I can stick it out, I think she would be good for me. I think she'd be good for my career.
Anyone who holds out that long, first of all, I like that he's seducing a woman for his career. It's a ballsy, smart move. Good.
Well,
for
his career as far as properties, and he wants to branch out. Like, he has his law degree and he has his MBA. And so he's, as far as that type of career, but he wants to branch out and get into real estate and those kinds of things. And she has hookups in that nature.
Yeah.
So, with
to answer the question, though, I believe I don't care how religious you are. It's just human nature. Also, all religion's a lie. Don't be stupid.
Well, that's what he says as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so in a sense, you guys are kind of twins, but he will say that.
He's successful, though.
He is successful, but he's not successful with women. I mean, he goes through women like toilet paper. Like,
that's
even
success
once,
with women.
Even when he likes someone, like, he really did like her. And he said, you know what? She is
how
so
can you
nice.
Like her without sex?
Because intellectually,
it's just that, okay.
I mean, and they had a lot of common interest and she was someone to do something with. So she was a good partner.
I'm not trying to oversimplify.
Yeah.
And I can go like without a ton of sex.
Right.
If I really enjoy someone. Because most of the day, if I'm left to my own devices.
Yeah.
I'm goofing off most of the day. And then like twice a day, I just got to, you know, crank the pipe a little. But you're talking what? Like 25, 30 minutes a pop. So let's say an hour a day.
Yeah.
God, I sound like a fiend. But as long as I'm getting a little something from a chick, you're talking 30 minutes to an hour daily, I'm good. But if I'm not getting that 30 minutes to an hour,
yeah,
it's bad.
But he'll say things like you'll say, well, why didn't you pick up the phone? Like, I just called you. I was just talking to you, whatever. And he's, well, I was on the phone with my mom. He's like, well, is your mom here? Is your mom, didn't we say we were going to talk about where we're going to go to eat? And you say, well, my mom has cancer. Okay, but did she die? Is she dead? Oh, so
Joel
she's not
like
dead.
Like a real prick.
So she's not dead. And you'd be like, okay, so cancer smasher, like, let's get back to this. Did you find us a room? Did you get
yeah. Hey, Joel, I know why you're single. I noodled it out.
But at the
you're an ass.
He is, but he has this, he's very charming. And he
yes, he's a sociopath.
Yes, he's already determined that.
Yeah, he's charming in that he doesn't feel emotion, yeah, but he knows how other people feel emotions, and he preys upon that. That's textbook sociopathy.
But the thing is, like, he is able to, not only is he able to anticipate the needs of others, but he does act on it.
And mess with them, and prey upon them. That's the word, prey.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love that guy.
Exactly.
He's great to
it's
me.
Understanding, but not feeling.
But in a sense, I kind of admire some of that just coming right out with it, because that's what he's feeling and that's what he's thinking. And rather than just sugarcoating it, and that's how I feel like you should do too. Like, you're seeing red, you're blinded, you're hot, you're upset. Then you just should say, hey, listen, is your mom dead? She's not dying. So let's get in the car. Let's move along and you can catch up with her in the hospital.
Oh, that's what you want him to say in that scenario.
I'm saying for you too, when you're seeing red and you're upset and you're whatever. Those aren't nice things.
That's maybe the worst advice I've ever heard.
No, because that's exactly how you're feeling. So you're just going to shut her
so
off and she has no idea.
I'm going to dig my grave deeper by being like, look, I'm sick of your bitch mom and her bitch cancer. Where's my dinner?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You're single for a reason too, buddy. I've just
but it's
solved
what you're,
everyone's problems.
But you're feeling that. You know what I mean? I don't talk
I
like that.
I feel
I have
like
empathy
bending
for
over and sticking it in any attractive woman that walks by. I'm not going to walk up to her and tell her that and
you
think
should.
It's a smart move. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should.
You just want me in prison so you can take over this
How
stupid
do you think
show.
Joel gets chicks? I mean, he does just that.
He has an MBA.
But they don't know that at a bar. They don't know that when he goes up to someone and asks to bum a cigarette.
As he rattles his Acura keychain.
He doesn't even have a car. He doesn't own a car. He doesn't.
I don't know what to tell you. Money helps. Let's put it that way.
Money helps, but they don't know that when they're first meeting him.
Well, no, they're not meeting him in his place.
Right. And he's short. You know what I mean?
There's confidence, too. What can I say? But
that's what I'm saying.
It's born of these things.
You can have confidence, too. You just got to work on it.
I don't want it. It's a burden.
It's a burden.
It is. Who needs it?
But what were you saying earlier about sleeping with someone? There's if you don't sleep with someone, you always regret it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're having this talk in the commissary as I ate my Cheez-Its and double Doritos lunch. I was saying, now, thankfully, to my knowledge, I've never caught an STD or, well, impregnated someone that carried it to term. Mm-hmm. Because then you
did
would
you ever,
definitely
did you ever
regret.
Impregnate someone who didn't carry it to term?
Oh, like, yeah.
But I'm saying not like a morning after pill, like an abortion.
Yeah. Like actual dead baby.
Oh, my goodness. That's nasty. Mm. Why did you do that?
I didn't. It was like the best gift ever. She did it on her own. I didn't even know she was pregnant. She just told me like, hey, that time I told you I was late. I wasn't late. I was pregnant and I took care of it.
Did you give her money for that?
I wanted to. She really waved it off. Like, I wasn't seeing her at that point in the flesh. So it wasn't like I could just give her, you know, pull out my wad of cash.
Yeah.
Like Paulie from Goodfellas and just take off a couple hundreds.
Yeah, you should have. That's terrible.
Kind of, yeah.
That's
but
tough.
It was already
You know, for
care
a woman,
of.
They never forget, from what I understand. If you lose one or you flush one, they never, ever forget. And when they talk about their children, they always count them, you know. They're like, I would have had five. Or I would have had four.
Kind of yes and no. It depends. Like, I had another girl who I think was just trying to manipulate me, who was like, I was pregnant, but I, like, just had a rough period, like, a couple weeks after, and I lost it then. So if that was a kid, then I've had two that started forming, and then God knows how many have morning after it away.
Gross. That's nasty. You are gross.
Tom Berenger and Sniper, baby.
That is
one shot, one kill.
Terrible. Nasty. Why don't you wrap it up?
I do most of the time. This is just whenever I don't, a baby's getting made.
Ugh, that is terrible.
I think you mean awesomely impressive.
No. No, you're shivlocky or whatever it is. What is it? What did your mom call it?
What? Pulaki. Pulaki. Yeah. Pulaki is too anglicized a pronunciation. It's like, yeah. Pulaki.
Yeah. That is just gross.
It's aim. It's true.
But then you said that there's none that you always regret not sleeping with someone.
I was saying, yeah. I was getting to, unless you get like an STD off a woman,
yeah,
or her husband finds you in delecte flagranto, yeah, or whatever the expression is,
yeah,
in the midst of passion.
Yeah.
Or you get her pregnant, she carries it to term and economically ruins you for 18 years.
Yeah.
You always regret not banging girls. And there are tons of women that, like, in the heat of the moment, I was smart enough to be like, this is a bad idea, John.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's almost the reverse, like the way my brain works. Like, in the heat of the moment, I'm like, don't stick it in. She's nuts. You're going to ruin everything.
Yeah.
But afterward, I'm like, why didn't you do that? Why the hell not? They have to be attractive. Can I specify that? Like, if it's I've never rued the fact I didn't stick it in some two.
Yeah, but what if you found out, like, they're crazy or they have a boyfriend or whatever, and don't you think?
First of all, they probably told me all that up front if I'm messing with them. Second of all, I'm saying nothing bad happened afterward.
Yeah.
Yes, if you screw her and the next day your car is shot up, it was probably not a smart exchange. But overall, all things being equal, nothing bad going to happen afterward. I think a guy should always sleep with any sort of woman that he's, like, attracted to.
I
regret it more than not doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been with crazies who had boyfriends.
Yeah.
And in the heat of the moment, I was like, no, John, don't do this. And as soon as I went home,
yeah,
and thought about it, because really that's what sex is about to me, giving myself, like, fodder to think about later when left to my own devices, I regretted not going through with it.
Yeah, I think at the time. But then what if you have her lunatic boyfriend after you or whatever? I think there's plenty of cases where you just think, whew, thank goodness I didn't.
You're not listening. I'm saying no lunatic boyfriend in the mix. If he's there, yeah, it probably wasn't worth it.
Yeah. But if she has one, I don't think you said you regret every one that you didn't.
Well, yeah, because nothing bad has really ever happened. I've never had any of the boyfriends.
But just think of how many
come after.
Well, like you were talking about the chick where you were gonna sleep with her.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you were getting down, and then she said to you,
you can repeat it. I don't want to say it. She said, okay, I'll say it. It was in exactly the little ginger, the Borat's wife,
right,
from the Wedding Crashers.
Right.
It's Wedding Crashers, not
right,
the Wedding Crashers. And she says, all right, we can have sex, but if we do, I'm going to get clingy, like in that voice. And she was a hot girl.
Right.
And I have never felt my junk do 60 to zero faster.
Yeah. And you didn't do it. And then what? She started crying.
Yeah. So
that's
I had to
horrible.
It was horrific. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
But can you imagine?
I was like, this is my sex life. I've got a hot girl in my bed that I didn't screw, and now I'm going to have to console her because I didn't hump her, and she's crying all over me.
Yeah, but
And my junk now looks like a deployed parachute from a drag racer.
Oh, yeah. That's
after they've come to a halt.
But I'm saying that seems like you avoided a pretty big bullet.
No,
there.
Because now I don't get to say I slept with her.
Yeah,
but I went through all the bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is to feel tears on your flesh?
No.
When you're aroused?
No. No, I never have.
It is horrific feeling tears on your skin during sex. Before, during, or after.
Yeah. I mean, I've never... Well, you know what? I can't say. I mean,
has someone
we didn't
cried
have...
on you, or have you cried?
No, I never cried. I'm not a crier. I'm not tearful.
I know. You're weirdly dead inside. After your childhood, I can understand how you had to murder any semblance of an emotion to get through it.
I'm not dead inside, but I can remember when my ex-husband.
You're like a dead tree. The only life inside is like the maggots crawling around.
But I don't throw words around. And I think when people say words, especially like I love you and those kinds of things, I just don't throw them around. I don't just love everyone and love the mailman. And I'm
you
not
love
a
you.
I'm not a touchy-feely kind of person unless I really like someone. And my ex-husband, we had been dating. And I don't know, it seemed to move rather quickly. And anyhow, he had said that he loved me. And the first time he said it, I said, you know what? You know, kind of choose your words carefully. Like, just don't. And he said, oh, I'm serious. I'm really in love with you and blah, blah, blah. And I think he was being sincere, but.
You were trying to warn him.
No, I just
like Sharon Stone at Casino. You're like, come on, Ace. I'm a dirty skank. Peel out.
And then we had gone to this like gala event or something. And then afterwards we were at the hotel and he cozied up to me and he said.
How far into the relationship was this? 2 or 3 weeks.
No, I think it was maybe, I don't know. We had dated for like a year casually, you know, dated.
So it was like a year before the I love you?
No. Because we weren't really together. Like we had met in like 93. Mm-hmm. And then he went away. He was in Somalia.
Back when I was 12. Go on.
And then he came back around. He was supposed to come back in like a few months. And it wound up being close to like 8 months or 10 months or something. And like he was supposed to come back in that October. And then he didn't come back to that January. And so then from January through whatever, I forget.
Did you send him any nudes via AOL?
Never. That's not my style. I don't
As the phone hissed at him and one pixely boob came through?
No. But anyhow, then we went to this gala and we went to the hotel and, you know, I didn't want to have sex before I was married. And
what?
He knew that. You knew that too.
I forgot.
Yeah. So, but he had said that he loved me. And I didn't say anything back. And then he started crying. So wow. It was bad. I mean, he's very masculine. He's a very manly guy.
No,
he's
6'3". I love you. Yeah, what a man.
I think his feelings were hurt. Because at the time, like, I was kind of, like, I don't know, emotionally and all that.
Dating around?
No, I just wasn't, like, in touch with my feelings. I wasn't, like, a touchy-feeling kind of person.
Now you're all kinds of normal in the emotions department. He just needed to hang on.
Anyhow, I think I said something like, thanks.
Thanks. Nice tie.
So, I mean, yeah. Yikes.
Wow. No, that's my second crying in bed that I remember off the top of my head.
I mean, he was tearful. I felt bad, but I mean.
Well, imagine that, except you're sexually aroused.
No, I mean.
It's bad. So bad.
I guess so. That's just, I don't know.
First time it happened while I was in the girl.
And she started crying.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of guys say that.
She was tipsy. She had had a couple. I had had a couple. I performed admirably. Did just fine. And after the first go around, she hopped on me again and started riding away.
Yeah.
And then just holds me and starts crying. And says, say you'll never go.
Oh.
And I was like, so far I've been having fun. I'm not going to leave. She's like, no, say you'll never leave. I was like,
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing manipulative about that, though. Men are the devils, not women.
I don't like those kind of stories. Anything like that has been relatively normal for me. No one's
done that to you? Pinned you down, start giving it to you, say you'll never leave.
Say you're a bird.
Cried into the small of your neck. If you're a bird, I'm a bird.
That is horrible. Yeah, I can't think of anything like that. I've had some cuckoo kind of date experiences, you know, like weirdos on dates, but.
That's date. I've dated so many weirdos, like just one or two dates.
Like, what's the weirdest one?
Oh, God, off the top of my head, weird. Probably when I was younger and I really just didn't say no.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, there was like a lot of getting high dates.
Yeah.
Where just you're a kid, so it's like hanging out smoking weed's a date.
Yeah.
Then you watch like Fear and Loathing. they don't register with me like actual dates. You know what I mean? Unless it's someone I later like hooked up with. I don't remember.
But you don't remember anything like weird or someone just, you know, like.
No, because like I meet people that I don't click with all the time, be it they're just dumb or they're strange or whatever.
Yeah, but to me, even if I have like an awkward situation, to me, it's always good because I tend to be amused, you know? So even if somebody walks funny or they have a certain kind of cadence or.
Oh, you can always find some deformity to mock.
Some kind of humor in it. But I don't like people, like I've had dates where I've talked about this before, where the guy and he goes to pay and then I say, well, we can go Dutch and then.
I would kill to go on a date with you.
And then we do that, but then he doesn't leave all of the tip money that I give him. I've had that happen several times. And he's like, this is too much money. And I say, but I want to give it to the server. Like, they did an exceptional job and I want them to have it. And they don't.
That's weird. That's a horrible. Like,
it's happened.
It's so lose-lose because you're not paying yet you manage to convey your own cheapness.
Yes, it's really
it's the worst move.
Unattractive. Like, I think if someone offers to take you out, I think that they should pay. But there's been other cases where you just say, hey, you want to hang out or you want to meet up? And, you know, then I've offered to pay myself. But when I've done that, it's happened on more than one occasion. And these guys, everyone that's done it, like, they have modest success. The one guy has his own business. He has two cars. He has two houses. He just, I guess, is extraordinarily frugal. And he did offer to pay for the meal, but then he was like, when I insisted and I said no, he's like, this is too much. And then he leaves the minimum amount of tip and then he pockets the rest.
Wow. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, that's unattractive. And yeah, I don't want to.
No kidding.
I don't want to go out with that person again, whatever. But in my head.
You should lie in that situation and be like, oof, if I had loose cash, I'd add even more. And then you're like, oh, what a giver.
It's like, it's really unattractive. But I have had some like, weird, like I just talked about this one on Twitter where I went out with someone and this guy, if you met him, like he's 6'1", something like that. And he's very, very masculine, very masculine, very manly, into sports. He's very chivalrous, not feminine at all. Just the square jaw kind of looks like reminds you of a Clark Kent. You know what I mean? But not, he's not really, he has a business side, but he.
But he's in a wheelchair, go on.
But he's casual, right? And when we were making out and then he puts my hand.
Whoa, Miss Hussey, when did this happen?
And then he puts my hand under his shirt.
Yeah.
And he's got female lingerie on.
Wow. We got to punch out on that note. We've hit the hour and you're not going to top that.
But have you had something like that?
No. No one has ever been like, I want to pretend I'm the man, pulled out a sex toy and tried to use it on me. No. No, no, no.
Like that's
like the
of...
weirdest thing I've ever heard is some chicks will openly talk about, they'll fantasize about what it would be like to have junk themselves.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just kind of textbook penis envy. I don't think that's particularly strange.
No, I think, I mean,
trust
even
me,
myself.
I squelched that talk right quick, though. I don't want to hear it.
But I've gotten some doozies after that, too, where you're just like, wow, like, I can't believe you just said that or did
the,
that. Or
the Tran, God, why would you pop that at like minute 59? Because we got to, we're
know.
Done.
I don't know. It just came to me. I don't know.
So he's like this handsome, it's always like the good looking ones that have to weird things up. No one can just function at the top of their game. Like, no one can be attractive and successful and intelligent.
Yeah. And not women not wear a bra.
Yeah. And not try to screw it up somehow. We're just, as humans, we're designed to suck.
Chris was like, well, what did you say? Or what happened? And I don't know. What do you say?
Is it my size? Can I have it?
I think it might
have been. Was it like a 52 A cup?
The thing is, like, he has, like, the body is, like, of, like.
A Greek god.
Well, that, like, he's very muscular, but it's like a swimmer's body, like where you have that triangle, that upside down triangle. Mm-hmm. So he's very broad shouldered. And
I call it the radio host body, but go on.
Yeah, that. But then you're like, wow, that's interesting.
So what you're saying is the lingerie looked great on him?
I didn't really look at it so much.
Wow. You and your tranny surprise.
Well, he's not a tranny. He's definitely got a wiener, so.
Oh, that's a transsexual. He's a transvestite.
I don't think he doesn't
do literally the definition of a transvestite. You're saying like a guy was having sex with another man. I'm like, oh, he's a homosexual. You're like, whoa, let's not jump to anything here.
Oh my.
Allison.
Yes.
Another show where we didn't get to anything we had talked about getting to.
Yeah.
Great.
There's always next time.
No.
You did. I did get an apology, so.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I got to write
several.
That down. They want to get a hold of you on Twitter. It's at Allison Frank. AllisonFrank.
Correct.
I'm John Papagiorgio. Why wouldn't you want to talk to me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. At Papa's Basement on Twitter.
Let them know what you think of the show.
Oh, yeah. So much we have to get to next episode. I really wish we had a third hour, but then I wouldn't be able to watch Pacific Rim in peace shortly. InPapa'sBasement.com show website. Every Monday and every Thursday, a new episode goes up. Click on the iTunes link at the top to subscribe to us using iTunes. Please, please, please do that.
Okay.
Thanks.
I will.
Have you done it?
Sure. Sure, I have.
I smell the duplicity from here. Till the next one.
Bye.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.